بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلله فلا هادي له ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله ونشهد أن سيدنا وحبيبنا ومولانا محمدًا عبده ورسوله أما بعد. Respected elders and dear brothers, the purpose of the Quran is to guide us to Allah Azza wa Jal and to bring us closer to Him. Khabbab ibn al-Arat radiyallahu ta'ala anhu, he once said to a person, تَقَرَّبْ إِلَى اللَّهِ مَسْتَطَعْتِ. He says that throughout your life, exert yourself and work hard to attain the قُرْب of Allah, the nearness of Allah. That is something we try and achieve throughout the month of Ramadan, primarily قُرْب إِلَى اللَّهِ, to enjoy nearness to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So he says, throughout your life, this should be the objective of your life. Look for every opportunity to draw nearer and closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَعْلَمْ أَنَّكَ لَنْ تَتَقَرَّبْ إِلَيْهِ بِشَيْءٍ هُوَ أَحَبُّ إِلَيْهِ مِنْ كَلَامِ. He says, but understand that the most effective way and the easiest way to enjoy the qurb of Allah is to draw closer to Allah through the Qur'an, that which is most beloved to Allah. When Allah defines the month of Ramadan, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala refers to it as شهر رمضان الذي أنزل فيه القرآن. This is the only place in the entire Qur'an where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has referred to this month by its name, the month of Ramadan. Hence we can refer to this as a definition that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given for us in the Qur'an for this month. Now when you and I, if we were to define the month of Ramadan, the first thing that comes to our mind is the fast that we observe every day during the month. The first thing that comes to our mind is the suhoor that we have in the morning and the iftar in the evening. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, شَهْرُ رَمَضَانَ الَّذِي أُنزِلَ فِيهِ الْقُرْآنِ. The month of Ramadan is the month wherein the Qur'an was revealed. It is the month of Qur'an. And when we say that it is the month of Qur'an, this does not mean that our attachment to the Qur'an must be confined to the month of Ramadan. That once the month has passed, then also the month of Qur'an has passed, then we find that also the attachment of the Qur'an comes to an end. But it is a month that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us to develop an attachment with the Qur'an, or to enhance our relationship with the Qur'an. Ibn Kathir alayhi rahma, under the commentary of the verse, إِنَّا أَنزَلْنَاهُ قُرْآنًا عَرَبِيًّا, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says He has revealed this Qur'an as an Arabic book. He writes over there, أُنزِلَ أَشْرَفُ الْكُتُبِ بِأَشْرَفِ اللُّغَاتِ عَلَى أَشْرَفِ الرُّسُلِ بِسِفَارَةِ أَشْرَفِ الْمَلَائِكَةِ وَكَانَ ذَلِكَ بِأَشْرَفِ بِقَاءِ الْعَرْضِ وَابْتُدِئَ إِنْزَالُهُ فِي أَشْرَفِ شُهُورِ السَّنَةِ وَهُوَ رَمَضَانِ. He says that the best of books was revealed in the best of languages. It was revealed to the best of creation, Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. It was carried down by the best of all angels, Jibreel alayhi salam. The revelation started in the best of lands, the land of Makkatul Mukarramah. And the revelation commenced in the best of months, the month of Ramadan. فَكَمُلَ مِنْ كُلِّ الْوُجُوهِ. He says, whichever angle you study the Qur'an from, it is perfect, it is kamil. So there are many ways through which we can gain nearness to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala through the Qur'an. The Qur'an may describe Allah for us, so that we may realize Allah's greatness and Allah's majesty. It may tell us of those actions and deeds that are pleasing to Allah, so that we may perform them and draw closer to Allah through them. It may remind us of the countless blessings and bounties of Allah that we enjoy, so that by realizing them, we develop greater love for Allah Azza wa Jal. So there are many ways through which the Quran can draw us closer to Allah Azza wa Jal. But perhaps the easiest and most effective way to earn closeness to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is by realizing our utter need and dependence upon Allah. And by realizing the fact that we rely on Allah for absolutely everything. Ya ayyuha an-nas, antumul fuqara ila Allah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, O mankind, you are beggars before Allah. You are nothing before Allah. You are in need of Allah. Wallahu huwa al-ghaniyul hamid. Allah is al-ghani. Allah is the independent. Allah is free from every need and want. Brothers, whenever we have a need, it is only Allah who we turn to. And Allah then answers our du'as through that one attribute of His for which Allah is always known. The most salient of all His attributes. The attribute that we and the entire creation of Allah are enjoying, and that is the rahmah, the mercy of Allah. So this is one way we can journey to Allah. By calling on Allah more and more. By relying on Allah. And by tasting of Allah's mercy as Allah answers our du'as. In the Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala describes for us the profound and deep du'a of one of His most dedicated servants, Nabi Zakariya alayhi salam. Kaf ha ya ayn sad, dhikru rahmati rabbika abdahu Zakariya. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, as an introduction to the dua, He reminds us that the supplication of Zakariya alayhi salam was answered through the rahmah of Allah, through the intense mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Dhikru rahmati rabbika abdahu Zakariya. This is a reminder of your Lord's rahmah, your Lord's mercy upon Zakariya alayhi salam. So the first thing we learn is that our du'as are answered through the extreme mercy, through the rahmah of Allah. And that is why whenever you make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, ask Allah to answer your dua through His infinite mercy. Abu Mulaika rahimahullah, he shares with us a dua that he heard Abdullah ibn Amr ibn al-As radiyallahu ta'ala anhu making at the time of iftar. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said about the time of iftar, that is a very special occasion. It's a very special moment. لِلصَّائِمِ عِنْدَ فِطْرِهِ دَعْوَةٌ لَا تُرَدْ. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, at the time of iftar, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not reject the dua of a fasting person. So he shares with us the dua of Abdullah ibn Amr ibn al-As. He says he heard him making a dua at the time of iftar. Allahumma inni as'aluka bi rahmatik. Allahumma inni as'aluka bi rahmatik. Oh Allah, I beg of you, I make dua to you. I ask you, not because I fasted the entire day, I don't feel that I am now justified to have my dua answered, or I have a right to have my dua answered because I made a khatam of the Quran, or because I fasted the whole day. Bi rahmatik, through your rahmah, wallah. Allahumma inni as'aluka bi rahmatik, allati wasi'at kulla shay, your rahmah, your mercy that encompasses everything, oh Allah. Through that rahmah, do I ask you, oh Allah, that forgive me. Dhikru rahmati rabbika abdahu Zakariya. Brothers, you will notice here in this verse, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks of His rahmah. He speaks of His mercy on Zakariya alayhi salam along with the servitude and slavehood of Nabi Zakariya. Hence, there exists a connection between receiving mercy from Allah and the state of ubudiyya, the state of slavehood and servitude before Allah. In other words, if you want to enjoy the mercy of Allah, if you want to drown in that mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then you have to become the complete slave of Allah. We should not live our lives for ourselves anymore. We should live for Allah. Ya Musa, kunni kama urid, akun laka kama turid. Allah told Musa alayhi salam, O Musa, You become for me what I want you to be, I shall become for you what you want me to be. Yabna Adam tafarrag li'ibadati, amla' sadraka ghinan wa asuddu faqrak, wa illa taf'al mala'tu yadayka shughlan wa lam asudda faqrak. Allah says, O Ibn Adam, tafarrag li'ibadati, dedicate time for my ibadah, make time for my ibadah, free yourself for my ibadah and for my worship. Amla sadraka ghinan, I will fill your heart with contentment. Al ghina ghina nafs, Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, through wealth is contentment of the heart. Malaktu sadraka ghinan wa asuddu faqrak, and I will remove you from your state of need and want. Wa illa taf'al, if you do not find the time for my ibadah, if you do not dedicate time for my worship, you do not free yourself for my worship, malaktu yadayka shughla, I will fill your hands with work. You'll be hopping around one engagement to another engagement, one worldly commitment to another worldly commitment. And despite the numerous engagements and involvements that eat up your time, لَمْ أَصُدَّ فَقْرَكَ, I will not remove you from your state of need and want. So this state of slavehood and servitude, this is what made Zakariya alayhi salam eligible for this special mercy from his Allah. Allah is reminding us of the condition that must be fulfilled for our du'as to be answered, and that is ubudiyyah. Enter into a state of complete servitude and slavehood before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. إِذْ نَادَى رَبَّهُ نِدَاءً خَفِيًّا. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that Zakariya alayhi salam, he called upon Allah, he supplicated to Allah, secretly, a silent, secret calling to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This was the starting point of the mercy of Allah. Brothers, dua in itself is a special form of mercy that we enjoy. Dua in itself is a special form of mercy that we enjoy because it is Allah who puts a yearning in your heart. It is Allah who puts a desire in your heart to call out to Him and to make dua. And that is why when you experience that yearning, and we experience it so often in the month of Ramadan, there's a desire, there's a yearning that just comes into your heart and you feel like raising your hands and making dua to Allah. Don't let that moment pass you by, because that feeling comes into your heart from Allah. Raise your hands and make dua. Allah might answer your dua, He may not answer your dua. He may give you what it is that you ask for, He may not give you what it is that you ask for, but the fact that He allowed you to spend those moments communicating with Him, that is a great bounty and ni'mah of Allah. Abu Abdullah rahimahullah, he says that one night he awoke from his sleep in search of his slave girl, who was an extremely pious lady. فَقُمْتُ مِنْ نَوْمِي أَبْحَثُ عَنْهَا فَإِذَا هِيَ تُنَاجِي رَبَّهَا سَاجِدًا. He says, I went out in search for her. I found her in sujood, in sajda, communicating with Allah. Ibn al-Qayyim rahimahullah writes, إِنَّكَ لَن تَجِدْ أَحَدًا أَحَنَّ مِنَ اللَّهِ عَلَيْكَ. He says, understand one thing, you will not find anyone who loves you more than Allah. لَوْ يَعْلَمُ السَّاجِدْ مَا يَخْشَاهُ مِنَ الرَّحْمَةِ بِسُجُودِ لَمَا رَفْعَ رَأْسَهُ. He says, if you only knew the extent and the level of Allah's mercy that descends upon you when you are in sujood, you would never want to lift up your head from sajda. How many more sajdas Allah gives us in the month of Ramadan? How many more opportunities to make sujood before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? So he says he went out, he found her in sujood, prostrating before Allah, and he overheard her making a dua. بِحُبِّ إِيَّايَ لَا تُعَذِّبْنِي. Oh Allah, because you love me, because of the love that you have for me, do not ever punish me. He found the dua to be quite strange, but he allowed her to complete the dua. When she completed, he came up to her and said, كَيْفَ عَرَفْتَ أَنَّهُ يُحِبُّكَ. That's a bold claim that you have made, that Allah loves you. How sure are you that Allah really loves you? So he says, she said, أَمَا أَقَامَنِي بَيْنَ يَدَيْهِ. Did Allah not allow me to stand in prayer before Him? The fact that Allah has allowed me to communicate with Him at this hour of the night is a clear enough sign of Allah's love for me and His mercy upon me. So Allah is the one who puts a yearning in your heart to call out to Him and to make dua to Him. Then there are those who never make dua to Allah. They are arrogant and proud. They feel that they are self-sufficient and they choose to rely on their capabilities, their abilities, their intellect, acumen and resources. They feel they do not need anyone but themselves. They never make dua to Allah. They are the ones who are deprived of the special mercy of calling out to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They never experience a desire, they never experience a yearning to raise their hands and make dua to Allah. وَقَالَ رَبُّكُمْ ادْعُونِي أَسْتَجِبْ لَكُمْ إِنَّ الَّذِينَ يَسْتَكْبِرُونَ عَنْ عِبَادَتِي سَيَدْخُلُونَ جَهَنَّمَ دَاخِرِينَ Allah issues a severe warning against those who because of their arrogance and their pride and because of their sense of self-sufficiency, they refuse to make dua and they never feel the need to make dua and turn to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Brothers, through dua we find hope at times of desperation. We find sustenance at times of need. Through dua we find security at times of fear. We find consolation at times of sadness. We find comfort at times of distress. How many are the moments of difficulty that we have been able to get through because of dua? So how much of a mercy it is that Allah has given us the ability to make dua. What a great ni'mah this is, that Allah has given us this ni'mah, this bounty of making dua to turn and communicate with Allah so easily. إِذْ نَادَى رَبَّهُ نِدَاءً خَفِيًّا Describing the dua of Nabi Zakariya alayhi salam, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, إِذْ نَادَى. Now the word nada in Arabic means to shout out, to call out to somebody, to extend the volume of one's voice so that everyone can hear. So the word nada creates the impression that Zakariya alayhi salam shouted out to Allah. He raised his voice and made dua. But in the very same verse, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala describes the dua as khafiya, a secret calling, a whisper. So the word khafiya now creates the impression that Zakariya alayhi salam, he made a silent dua such that his words were only a whisper. How do we resolve this apparent contradiction? Brothers, the supplication was in fact a silent dua. It was a secret dua. No one else heard the dua that Zakariya alayhi salam made except Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Ibn Kathir alayhi rahmah, he writes, قَامَ عَلَيْهِ السَّلَامُ مِنَ اللَّيْلِ وَقَدْ نَامَ أَصْحَابُهُ He says that Zakariya alayhi salam, he stood up to make dua at night, in the dead of night when all the other keepers of the masjid were asleep. He stood up at that hour of the night. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was asked, أَيُّ الدُّعَاءِ أَسْمَعُ O Nabi of Allah, which dua is readily answered by Allah? Which is the most effective dua that earns acceptance from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, Jawful layl al-akhir. The dua that is made in the latter part of the night, the last part of the night. That is the most effective dua. And we find that the Anbiya alayhi musallatu wasalam, whenever they had a special request and a special dua that they wanted to make, they would make the dua in the last portion of the night. Here we learn of Zakariya alayhi salam, Yaqub alayhi salam as well, when his children came to him, his sons, and they confessed the crime that they had committed. They sought forgiveness from their father. They asked their father to make dua for their forgiveness. He chose the latter part of the night, Jawful layl al-akhir. He chose that part of the night to make dua for them. Al-Imam al-Shafi'i rahimahullah, he describes the duas that are made at that part of the night. He says, أَتَهْزَأُ بِالدُّعَاءِ وَتَزْدَرِيهِ وَمَا تَدْرِي مَا صَنَعَتْ دُعَاءُ سِهَامُ اللَّيْلِ لَا تُخْطِي وَلَكِنْ لَهَا أَمَدٌ وَلِلْأَمَدِ إِنْقِضَاءُ He says, don't ever underestimate the power of dua. Today we have underestimated the power of dua. He says, you don't understand the power that dua has. Don't ever underestimate the dua. Don't ever, what one thing you must never give up doing is dua. in Ramadan, out of the month of Ramadan. Yes, as much as this is the month of Quran, it is also the month of dua. When you look at the main ayah that speaks of dua in Quran, where is that ayah found? وَإِذَا سَأَلَكَ عِبَادِي أَنِّي فَإِنِّي قَرِيبٌ أُجِيبُ دَعْوَةَ الدَّاعِ إِذَا دَعَانِ فَلْيَسْتَجِيبُوا لِي وَلْيُؤْمِنُوا بِي لَعَلَّهُمْ يَرْشُدُونَ أُحِلَّ لَكُمْ لَيْلَةَ الصِّيَامِ. After that ayah you find verses pertaining to fasting. Before that ayah you find verses pertaining to fasting. Dead in the center of those ayat, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has revealed the ayah of dua. So Imam Shafi says, don't underestimate the power of dua. Sihamul layli la tukhti. He says the dua, the arrows that you shoot at night, in the dead of the night, that part of the night, he has described those du'as as arrows. He says they never miss their target. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, we know every moment of our lives we are enjoying the mercy of Allah. Our presence in the masjid is a manifestation of Allah's mercy. The fact that we are in a state of fasting is a manifestation of Allah's mercy. We have witnessed the month of Ramadan, it is a manifestation of Allah's mercy. Every moment of our lives we are enjoying Allah's mercy. But he says in the last part of the night, there's a very special, special mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that descends to the lowest heaven. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then calls out, أَنَا الْمَلِكُ أَنَا الْمَلِكُ, I am the king. هَلْ مِنْ سَائِلٍ يَسْأَلُنِي فَأُعْطِيَهُ. Who is there at this hour of the night who has a need? Let him present his need before me, I will fulfill the need. هَلْ مِنْ مُسْتَغْفِرٍ فَأَغْفِرَ لَهُ. Is there anyone seeking forgiveness? Let him rise up from his sleep at this hour of the night, I shall forgive him. هَلْ مُسْتَرْزِقْ فَأَرْزُقَهُ. Is there anyone seeking rizq and sustenance from me? Now's the time, rise, make dua, Allah will provide it. A pious person of the past, he would say that if you really want something, you really want it, right? There's something you really want very badly, whether it is spiritually or of a worldly nature, and you really want it, but you're not waking up at the time of the Hajj to make dua for it, then guess what? You don't really want it. Then you don't really want it. You and I want Jannah. We aspire for Jannah. We desire for Jannah. Let us wake up in that part of the night and make dua for Jannah. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, ask Allah Jannah excessively. وَإِذَا سَأَلْتُمُ اللَّهَ الْجَنَّةَ فَاسْأَلُوهُ الْفِرْدَوْسِ. And don't settle with Jannah in your dua, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says. Don't settle with Jannah. Say, oh Allah, I want Jannatul Firdaus. Even though bulk of the ummah won't go to Jannatul Firdaus, the highest level of Jannah, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, that's your standard. That is what you aspire for. That is what you work towards. Zakariya alayhi salam stood up in the last portion of the night. Ibn Kathir rahimahullah says, we were discussing the contradiction. The one word suggests that it was a loud dua, the other word suggests that it was a silent dua. Ibn Kathir alayhi rahmah said, فَجَعَلَ يَهْتِفْ بِرَبِّهِ يَقُولُ خُفْيَةً. It was a khufya, it was a secret silent dua that he made. Ya Rabb, Ya Rabb, Ya Rabb. Oh Allah, oh Allah, oh Allah. Every time he said, Ya Rabb, Allah said, Labbaik, I'm here at your service, O Zakariya. So the dua was a silent supplication. But the intensity and the fervor and the force that he made the dua was, that was loud. That desperation, that inner cry was loud. So his words may have only been a whisper, but he spoke them with such intensity and with such energy, it was as if he shouted them out loud. So Allah says, Nada Rabbah. He shouted out to his Rabb. Then the word nida in the verse, nida an khafiyah, nida is used for a call when you're in desperation, whether someone is out there to listen or not. The adhan is called nida. You call out the adhan, whether someone is out there to listen to the adhan or not, you call it out. That's a nida. A drowning person who is in the center of the ocean and he's drowning and he shouts out. There's no one out there to respond to his call. But he shouts out of desperation. My brother, your dua must be driven by an inner sense and inner feeling of utter desperation before Allah. Your verbal utterance carries no weight. if it is not steered, if it is not driven by an inner feeling of utter desperation before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, لَيَأْتِيَنَّ عَلَى النَّاسِ زَمَانٌ لَا يَنْجُو فِيهِ إِلَّا مَنْ دَعَى بِدُعَاءٍ كَدُعَاءِ الْغَرِيقِ. The statement of Abu Darda, if I'm not mistaken, radiallahu ta'ala, he says that a time will come upon the ummah when the only dua will be answered that is the dua that is made with that level of desperation that a drowning person expresses at the time of drowning. Abu Bakr al-Shibli rahimahullah ta'ala anhu writes about the pious. He says, كَانُوا يَجْتَهِدُونَ فِي الدُّعَى وَلَا تَسْمَعُوا إِلَّا hamsa. They would make dua with much fervor, energy, power. But all he could hear was a whisper. This is the most beloved dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then we learn from the dua of Zakariya alayhi salam that he was persistent in dua. Never give up dua. Never stop making dua. Repeat your dua over and over and over again. He made a dua for a period of 40 years before his dua was answered. We want our duas to be answered in 40 seconds, 40 minutes, my dua must be answered. Kun mithla sabi. A scholar writes, Kun mithla sabi. إِذَا اشْتَهَى عَلَىٰ أَبَوَيْهِ شَهْوَةً فَلَمْ يُمَكِّنَهْ قَعَدَ فَبَكَهْ. He says, when you are in front of Allah, be like a baby, like a small child. When that child really wants something from his parents and they don't give it to him, what does he do? We all know what happens. He will sit and nag and persist and insist until he gets it. فَإِذَا سَأَلْتَ رَبَّكَ وَلَمْ يُعْتِكَ. When you make dua to Allah, Allah has not fulfilled your request. He says, فَقْعُدْ فَبْكِ. Sit and cry and insist and persist until Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala answers your dua. Brothers, the finish line is in sight. 16 days of fasting have passed already. Let us use every moment in making dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala fulfills all our needs. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala alleviates the sufferings of the people wherever they may be suffering in different parts of the world. You know, when a person, a cyclist or a runner, he participates in a race or in a competition, and when he sees the finish line, what does he do? Does he drop his pace? Does he lose courage? When he sees that finish line, there's a burst of energy that erupts within him. He wants to finish that cross that finish line strong. So the finish line is in sight. Let us exert ourselves to a greater extent than we have been exerting ourselves over the past few weeks. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us the understanding. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alamin.